It is wonderful to be gathered and worship the Lord together, singing these wonderful songs and hymns that prepare our heart, make our heart ready to receive the Word of God. Let's go to our Lord in prayer and ask for His blessing, so that we would take in His Word and be changed by it, not just be moved, but be changed by it. Father in heaven, I do thank You so much for Your love, for Your kindness. I thank You that You are sufficient. You are all that we need. And with You, we lack nothing. And You fill our hearts with joy and hope and anticipation of Your promises. And because we trust that You are able to bring those to our life and allow us to experience the great joy that we'll have when we see You face to face. And so, Father, be with us and fill our hearts with that anticipation of seeing You, and be with our congregation and those that are not with us this morning, and help us, Lord, to grow in our love for You and our trust in You. And help us also, Lord, as we take to Your Word, to be sanctified by it. In Jesus' name, amen. We would all agree that the Lord is comforting. He knows how to comfort us. He knows how to settle our soul. And we can go throughout the Gospels, all through the Gospels, that is, and find several portions of Scripture that would speak to that. But just as a way of introduction, I want us to turn to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. When we are in the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we come to this point where the Lord is about to have and share the last Passover meal with His disciples. And if we're reading in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we will find some of the things that happen here. But John really hones in on a conversation that the Lord has with the disciples to comfort them, to provide comfort. And in John chapter 13, in verse 33, the Lord Jesus tells His disciples this: "Little children, I am with you a little while longer. You will seek Me, and as I said to the Jews, now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are My disciples, if you have love for one another." And so the Lord Jesus tells them that He is going to leave them, and where He goes, they cannot follow Him, at least not just yet. But they are to remain and they are to stay so that they can show the love of Christ. They are supposed to love one another the way the Lord Jesus has loved them. In verse 36, Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? And Jesus answered, where I go, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow later. And Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you right now? I will lay down my life for you. Jesus answered, will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, a rooster will not crow until you deny me three times. Hard to hear. And this is Peter. He walked on water. I wonder what the disciples thought when the Lord told them this. Is this that one time that the Lord Jesus is going to be wrong? No. And the Lord, He knows everything. He knows the intricacies of our heart. He knows what happens there. He knows our thoughts, our feelings, our emotions, our weaknesses. And because He knows this, chapter 14 opens with the Lord telling His disciples, do not let your heart be troubled. Do not let your heart be troubled. They had a troubled heart. And even in the garden, we don't want to look down on our brothers that fell asleep. They were experiencing so much grief. They were grieving because of hearing things like this. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Okay. We will do that. But I am sure the Lord knew they needed to hear more than that. And so the Lord went on and said, in my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And so what do we have here? We have the Lord letting His disciples know that He is going to leave them and that they cannot follow Him yet, or at least now, but that He is going to prepare a place for His disciples. And if it were not the case, He would not have said so. But He did, and so He will not only prepare a place, but He comforts their troubled heart with the fact that not only will He return, but He will return to receive them back to Him. And so, beloved, what we have here is an argument not only for the resurrection of the saints, but also for the rapture of the church. And there are some that refuse, that we would call brothers and sisters of the faith, there are some that refuse the doctrine of the rapture of the church. Let that not be us, because the Lord Jesus gave us such a doctrine to comfort troubled hearts. And turn with me now to where we have been in 1 Thessalonians. And Lord willing, we will finish this chapter. Paul closes this section of telling that young church who is excelling in loving one another, but they need to abstain from sexual immorality and they need to have Christ-like worth ethic in the community. But apparently Timothy came back with a report that let Paul know that they were grieving to some extent the loss of fellow believers. The loss of fellow believers. And so Paul writes this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." This is not just a teaching on the doctrine of the rapture of the church. This is a word from God to comfort one another with. The doctrine of the rapture is not to merely rest in the libraries of those that study end times. But the rapture, beloved, very much was designed and penned and given to the church so that we would comfort one another. The first point is revealing a mystery. And Paul does not want to leave them in ignorance regarding their fellow believers who have died. He seeks to move them from hopeless grief to hopeful expectation in a glorious reunion. Verse 13, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope." Paul's pastoral heart shines here. He's aware of this young church's lack of understanding when it comes to this topic. And it's understandable. It's easy to relate. We all have grieved, maybe even currently grieving, the loss of loved ones. We grieve. We miss those that God calls to glory, promotes to glory. We miss them. We want to spend time with them. Isn't it interesting that we can all relate to that? We can all speak to that. The Lord has designed our heart to work that way. But beloved, this passage, it should be sweet comfort to our soul. It should be a reminder that that longing will be satisfied. It will be satisfied. Now, as Christians, our view of death is different than everybody else's view of death. Our view of death is different. You see, when Christ rose again, he changed the way that Christians would view death. And he even changed the name of death to sleep. If you are in Christ, you will not die. Though you die, you will not die. Your body will go to sleep. Your conscience will not go to sleep. But your body will sleep. It will rest in this earth. And it must rest. It must be put down and it must be buried into the ground. Why? For the same reason that Christ had to be buried and placed into the ground. It is the law that Christ was put into the ground. Because Deuteronomy tells us, cursed is everybody that hangs on the tree. And don't let that cursed person stay up. But that day, they must be brought down from that tree and buried into the earth. Or else that curse will defile the whole land of Israel. And so as Christ was buried, it is symbolic that the curse goes down into the grave and is dead. And that's why we, when we're born again, are also raised to a new life in Christ, set free from the bondage of sin, because that curse's strength is broken. And so we look at death way different than the rest of the world. Because Paul also teaches in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8, he says, "And I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord." There is a time that you will be absent from the body, unless the Lord calls you right now, or the rapture of the church happens now, but your body will go down into the earth. You will be separated from it. And you will be in the presence of the Lord. And that's why Paul gives further attention to it in Philippians 1:23, where Paul admits that of having a desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. Do not judge his English. That is very much better. It is very much better to be with the Lord. Bodies into the grave, into the earth. Soul with God. I can't wait for this body to go down there. And I know that some of you long for it more than I do. The soul does not sleep. The soul does not sleep at the point of death. The body rests. The soul of the believer goes to be with the Lord. And that should comfort us. That should comfort us. And now what I want to do is turn our attention to verses 13 through 18. Verses 13 through 17, or 14 through 17. One of these days I'll get it right. 14 through 17, where we'll see how we should be comforted by the rapture. We're going to look at three reasons why the rapture should be comforting to us. It's more than just clearing up ignorance. Paul seeks to comfort the church and to settle the tension that may rest in the heart of the believer who's concerned with those that are in Christ but have died. What is to happen to them? What is to happen with them? Verse 14, Paul writes, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus." And so Paul begins with these pillars of the Christian faith: the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Two gospel facts that no Christian would ever deny. Matter of fact, if you deny these, you are not Christian. The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The death of Christ, that righteous payment to God's holy standard. We know that the wages of sin are death. But dear sinner, you've escaped death. So if the wages of sin are death and you've escaped death, how? 2 Corinthians 5:21 informs us, and there Paul writes, He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him, in Christ. And Jesus died in the place of the sinner, the righteous for the wicked. And when they went to the tomb to go and find Jesus, He was not there. He was not in the tomb. It was empty. And praise God that it was empty. What would it have said if He was there? It would have said that He was not the spotless lamb, that He was not the perfect atoning sacrifice. It would have said that Jesus had sinned just like any other man. But because Jesus was not there, then we know that He is the spotless Lamb. He is perfectly sufficient to satisfy the Father's holy standard and what needs to happen for a perfect life and a perfect sacrifice and perfect redemption to forgive sin, to atone, to redeem. Beloved, He satisfied a demand that no one but Jesus could satisfy. Do you believe in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ? If you believe in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you must also believe this. Notice what Paul does. He places these huge pillars in the death and resurrection of Jesus and says that if you believe that, even so, God will bring with Him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. It is impossible, if you are going to stay consistent with your faith, to believe in the death and resurrection and then deny that God is going to send His Son with the saints in glory. You must believe both. You must believe both. God will bring Jesus and all those who have fallen asleep in Him back in glorious fashion, according to verse 17, that the Lord will come back into the clouds with the saints that are all in Christ, those that are asleep, those who have bodies in the grave. They will be in the clouds to witness the rapturing of the church. And so the first reason that the rapture gives us comfort is because it is a glorious greeting. It is a glorious greeting. And if Moses was with the Lord and His face was shining so bright that Israel had to tell Him, you need to veil your face, Moses. Beloved, those people that we know are with the Lord now, that will be waiting in the clouds when the Lord Jesus descends to the clouds, how glorious will they be? Oh, Moses, you were almost as bright as they. All those saints coming back, having spent time witnessing the majesty. What majesty do we know? What splendor do we know? When we meet heaven's splendor and majesty, we will cover our mouth and we will feel bad of saying that word in earthly ways. There is a splendor and majesty of heaven because that is God's home that we will have introduced to us that will blow us away. It will be a glorious greeting and reunion. And the second reason why the rapture should also bring comfort to us is because we will witness the resurrecting power of Jesus Christ. We will witness the resurrecting power of Jesus Christ. Paul says in verses 15 through 16, "For this we say to you, by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first." We will witness that. But considering this teaching, it's important for us to know that it came by the way of revelation. The Lord revealed it to Paul. We say, where was this? Well, Paul just said in verse 15, "For this we say to you, by the word of the Lord." The Lord shared this word, gave this word to Paul. And so now Paul shares it with the church. And so we have it preached even now to our own ears and to our soul. And we know from Acts that the Lord and the Holy Spirit would lead and would guide and even speak to Paul. In Acts 18, 9 through 10, Jesus speaks to Paul, encouraging him to preach in Corinth. Perhaps in the same way God delivered this message concerning the rapture to Paul. When we think back to the Old Testament, the Jews in the Old Testament had a very healthy eschatology. They knew about the end times. They knew about the day of the Lord. They knew about the coming kingdom where the Son of David would reign on earth and restore Israel. They also knew about being with God in heaven. However, there was something that they did not know. There was something that was hidden from them. A few things that were hidden from them. The rapture was hidden from them. Paul calls the rapture a mystery in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 through 52. There Paul writes, "Behold, I tell you a mystery." That word he also uses in Ephesians 5:32 when he compares the marriage relationship to the relationship that Christ has with His church. If you go look for that relationship in the Old Testament, you will not hear the prophets speak of it. Why? Because it's a mystery. It had not been revealed yet. It was hidden by God, later to be revealed by God in the New Testament. It was a mystery. Paul uses the same word to describe the rapture. And that's why the apostles were never asking about the rapture. They didn't know about the rapture until the Lord Jesus taught them about the rapture. Back to 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 52, Paul says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed." And I know that's one of the best verses to put outside of a nursery. But let us consider this in light of what Paul is saying in 1 Thessalonians. "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep." Paul's already spoken of those that are sleeping, body in the grave, soul with the Lord. "We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed." Whether you are asleep, body in the ground, and soul with God in heaven, or whether you are brought up by God in the rapture, we will all be changed. In a moment, he says, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. It's a mystery, but still biblical truth. Paul goes on to now describe maybe an order of events, if you will. So he says, "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, one, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. This is a deep theological teaching that everybody learns in elementary school. Those that have died and are in Christ, they go first. We will not go before them, beloved, if we are alive during the time of the rapture. No cutting. Next, or second, Jesus' resurrection is a first fruits resurrection. He resurrected first. But those who are dead in Christ will be resurrected first of all those saints. So verse 16 says, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first." They will rise first. So not those that are alive and remain, but those that have their bodies in the grave or earth, and those that have their soul, their spirit with the Lord in heaven. But from verse 16, we learn this, that the Lord will come down. And let us not confuse this with the Lord's second coming when it says that He will come down to the Mount of Olives. That is not what this passage says. He will descend from heaven with a shout. With a shout. And there will be a voice of the archangel, perhaps Michael. You could cross-reference that with Jude 9, where he is referred to as an archangel. Additionally, there will also be a sound of a trumpet, the trumpet of God that blasts out of heaven. These three things. You have the shout of the Lord. You have the voice of an archangel. And you have the trumpet of God. Why? Because it's waking up all those dead bodies in the grave to come up. Perhaps that is the only time it is good to be woke. The Lord Jesus has an effectual call to His voice. An effectual call to His voice. 1 Corinthians 15, 20 through 23. Paul writes, "But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. For since by a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive, but each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, after that those who are Christ at his coming. And when he comes, he will let out with a shout." And consider some of these notes in John's gospel regarding the resurrection. The Lord Jesus has a great theological conversation with Martha. And in John 11, 25 through 26, he said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" That is what he asked Martha. But that is what he asked us now. Do you believe that He is the resurrection? Do you believe that your faith will also grant you this resurrection? And Jesus goes on, after speaking to Martha, to go right outside Lazarus' tomb, and with an effectual call over the dead, in John 11:43, He cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus came. Because the Lord Jesus has an effectual voice or calling. In John 5, 28 through 29, the Lord Jesus is speaking about the resurrection in general. and shows that he has an effectual call over a multitude. He says, "Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and will come forth, those who did the good deeds to the resurrection of life, those who committed the evil deeds to the resurrection of judgment." He has shown that he can call Lazarus, but he can call all out of the tomb, out of the grave. This Jesus will descend into the clouds with an effectual call and shout for those bodies to come up. And we will witness the resurrection and the rapture of the church. And so we should be comforted with that. And the third reason why this portion of Scripture should comfort us is because it also tells us that we will always remain with the Lord, that we are raptured to remain with Christ. In verse 17 it says, Then, after those bodies have come up, then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so we shall always be with the Lord. This says, we're going to go up to the clouds. And there are saints that will be greeting us, that we long to see, beloved. But there is also our beloved, our Savior, waiting, calling us up to Him, changing us on the way, making us new, making us glorious. Those who are alive and remain at the time of Christ descending down from heaven into the clouds will be caught up. Where do we get rapture from? It's the Latin for caught up, for snatching away. It's the same word that's used in Acts 8:39 to speak of Philip. It says, when they came up out of the water, remember Philip baptizes the Ethiopian? It says, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch no longer saw him, but went on his way rejoicing. And let me just tell you something. Here's a bit of a contrast. When the snatching of the church happens, those that are around will not be rejoicing. They will not be rejoicing. Beloved, you want to be caught up. You want to be snatched by the Lord. It will happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And all those who remain till the coming and calling of the Lord Jesus in the clouds will be caught up and glorified. Philippians 3:21 or 20 through 21, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of His glory by the exertion of the power that He has, even to subject all things to Himself. He can do it because He has all authority. He changes us by His power. And this will be the most glorious reunion of glorified saints with a glorified Savior. And some have been with them for some time, others have been with them a short time. And those who remained on earth until the snatching away have longed for Him with this imperfect longing, a faith that we wish was perfect, desiring to behold the face of our Lord. And finally, our soul will be overwhelmingly satisfied by seeing the Lord Jesus. And this meeting will initially be in the clouds, and then It will advance to heaven where the Lord has said He's been preparing a place. Do we remember that portion of Scripture from John 14 that I opened up with? He's preparing it for us, beloved. He's preparing it for us. And so that's why Paul says, so we shall always be with the Lord. Yes, we are with the Lord spiritually now. He is with us and we are with Him. We are also seated with Him in heaven. But there is a time when we see Him face to face. Not by faith, but by true sight. By true sight. And beloved, let's close with this last point. We are commanded to comfort. Verse 18. We are commanded to comfort. It says in verse 18, regarding everything that He has just said, therefore, comfort one another with these words. It is an imperative. It is a command. It is one of the one another's in the church. Just like we should be loving one another. Just like we should be encouraging one another. So we should also be comforting one another with these words. But as I mentioned earlier, there are some that do not believe in the rapture of the church, which makes it very difficult to comfort people with these words. Because if this is the second coming, just consider the second coming in the Gospel of Matthew in the 25th chapter when the Lord Jesus speaks about His second coming, speaks about His return, and tells them, when this happens, flee for the mountains. Flee for the mountains. Don't go down into your home. If you're in the field, don't go back to get your cloak. Woe for those women who are pregnant at the time. That is how the Lord speaks about His second coming and His return. It does not sound like we comfort one another with those words. No, we comfort each other with this word. And so that's why the burden of proof is on everybody that would say that there is no rapture. Make sense of this then, because I don't know what you're going to do. But I don't get paid to figure that out, and so I'm just going to let that be what it is. Know this. Why is it comforting beyond the 3 points that I already made? Well, Paul made a point in the beginning of 1 Thessalonians in chapter 1, verse 10. He says, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, that is Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath to come. Jesus delivers us from the wrath to come. So we will not experience this wrath, beloved. What we will experience is the most glorious reunion in the clouds. What we will experience, beloved, is witnessing the rapture and resurrection of the saints. What we will be comforted by by remaining with the Lord, being with Him, and finally being caught up to Him. Some points of application. Number one, head, or how should we think about this? Now, this is for your comfort, beloved. This is for my comfort, beloved. Do you know this doctrine? Are you firm on this doctrine? Because if you do not remember it, if you're not able to speak it, then you are not able to follow through with this command of comforting one another. Oh, that we would just memorize all of God's Word, right? And know all of it. We have eternity to work on that. But for now, how should we think about this? This is God's command for me to know His Word so I can comfort others. for our heart? How should this affect our worship? I just want to ask you to pray and ask God to grant you clarity regarding this doctrine, the doctrine of the rapture of the church and even the resurrection of the saints. A note regarding our hands, our ministry here in our own church. Will you look to comfort the saints here? Will you resolve in your own heart to comfort the saints here? To not let a troubled heart pass you by without seeking to comfort it with this doctrine. A note for our home. Will you look to comfort the saints in your home and the saints that God has placed around you when you leave here? And a note regarding heaven. Will you look to Christ, the first fruits of the resurrection? Will you place your faith and trust and confidence in the Lord Jesus? Because only that will ensure that the comforts from this passage will be yours. But know this, just as it comes in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, the rapture is an unannounced event. Yes, there will be a shout, but at that time, you're too late. Because it is in a moment. So we don't have these signs. It's not going to come across in a newspaper, in a news feed, in some prophet. It's not going to happen. He's given us His Word now, so we make right now. And if He is not our Lord now, then we repent and turn to Him. He is so gracious. He will take you. He will take you. Place your faith, place your confidence in the Lord Jesus, because He is the resurrection. Father in heaven, I thank You for giving us Your Word. I thank You for a promise, Lord, that You will take these earthly bodies, these perishing bodies, and turn it into something glorious and something that is imperishable. You will change us. And we will experience a resurrection like You promised. You will keep Your Word and we will be with You to enjoy You, to have all of our spiritual longings satisfied in Your presence and in Your glory. Father, heaven is empty without You. So help us, Lord, to not long for heaven because of the fruit. Help us to not long for the rapture or the resurrection just for a new body, but help us to long for it because we will be with our Lord. Comfort our souls with Your Word, by Your Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen.